There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday edition of the show. Quick reminder for new folks, maybe brand new information. The phone number and the text line, the same digits, 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 gets you through with the FM Talk 106.5 app. You can also leave us one of those talk back messages. Standing by, maybe not. Todd Stacey, we don't know. We'll have to see if all of a sudden I see white smoke coming out or something like that. That means he's on, and we'll get with him. If not, it's all right. We got lots to do. And coming up at 12:30, Rob Holbert from Lanyap. Yeah, I'll talk a lot about the Tuberville redacted tax documents. You know, I thought this was all put to bed last week when I said I've been interested in this, really, just because I'm a what are the rules kind of guy, right? And I thought with the tax documents being put out, this thing was put to bed, but now maybe another chapter in this. We'll talk about that with Rob coming up in just a little bit. Also, speaking of elections, I know it was one of the three big things this morning on Mobile Mornings. The cost. Maybe this is, you know what, I'll argue. Here's the headline. This is from BNBC 15, WPMI. Mobile County considers $243,533 in costs for the August 11th special primary. Since Mobile County commissioners are being asked to approve an estimated $243,000 plus in election-related costs for the special primary election, the request listed on the Mobile County Commission's June 4th preliminary administration agenda covers pay for election officials, poll worker training, mileage reimbursement, cell phone expenses, and absentee election workers and election technology support. The largest expense is election day pay, $171,050. So that's to pay the folks here. Includes $19,500 for 78 inspectors, $17,550 for 78 chief clerks, $26,000 for 130 provisional ballot officers, and $108,000 for 540 assistant clerks. Mandatory poll worker training for leadership positions cost an estimated $14,300. That includes training for pay for inspectors, chief clerks, and provisional ballot officers. County's also being asked to approve $778.46 for mileage reimbursement and cell phone use. Now, for cell phone use for a second, do people have maybe there's a reason here, but that one stopped me. Like, do you get, are you getting charged per minute on your, what cell phones do we have here? It says mileage reimbursements is estimated at $388.46 based on 530. Okay, there's a lot of detail here. Here it is. Cell phone expenses estimated at $390 based on one phone per precinct. Okay, I guess that's the burner phone that they got out there. Absentee election officials expected to cost $2,475. Includes returning officer, manager, 10 clerks. Mobile County Probate Court also plans to deploy up to 100 election technology support specialists for the special primary. The cost estimated at $54,930. That position, I think, if the probate judge is listening, you can correct me, but the election technology support specialist, these are younger people that work at the polls to show are more seasoned citizens that volunteer to work at the polls how to run the iPad. I think that's what that is. That's somebody to go, no, Grandma, quit pressing that button. Yeah, press this one over here. That's what I think that is. So that's the cost for Mobile County. I haven't seen what the cost for Baldwin County be, but Mobile County, $243,533 for the August 11th special primary. I got this suggestion. You want to say, but why are we even voting anyway? It's too much money. That's going to be the next thing you're going to hear. Listen, not from Mobile County, but somewhere. This will be the push to totalitarianism. Listen, we want to save you money. And look at how much money we're spending on y'all voting. We'll just take away that vote and then look at all the money we'll save on this. It'll be incredible. Yeah, because we've had specials for the state that have been in the millions and millions of dollars. If Mobile County is $243,000, I don't know that the costs are going to be obviously commiserate in all counties, fewer number of people, those guys, but 67 counties in the state. So can we average that out? I don't know. I mean, you're going to have places like Mobile and Huntsville, Montgomery, Birmingham will all be in this range or maybe higher. Etowah County or Limestone County or something like that is going to be less. But we're looking at how many millions of dollars to do this. That's what you're going to hear. Listen, you don't want to spend that money. Don't waste that money. We just will quit voting. Let's see. So we'll watch it. But that's obviously this is, if you're new to the show, that's satire. We need the right to vote on this. But you will hear this be like, well, you know, they're spending all that money voting again. Okay, well, maybe we just won't vote. Let's see. Michael said, also, I had to explain to Grandma to get her finger out from in front of the camera in the primary while she was trying to scan my license. I really do. I think in conversations I've had in the past with the probate judge, Irwin, I think that's what that is. The 100 election technology support specialist cost of $54,930. That is to help the volunteers at the polling place that are just mashing it or believe, like sometimes older folks believe, that the Russians have hacked their whatever, is to go, no, quit pressing that. Quit pressing that. So that's, I'm guessing that's part. But, you know, it's better than not having them, and then we'd have a real problem. Let's see. Michael also says, and we can bring this back up when Rob joins us, says, I would love if Coach did his first press conference after his inauguration from the back steps of his beach house and puts the Nappy boys front and center just to put salt in their wounds after taking another L. You know, it's, Michael, I really want to have this conversation with Rob, because first thing up, Tuberville should fire his attorney. I mean, it's just, to put that document out without redacting the barcode on it, I mean, when you get hired at that kind of level, you should be able to know that you got to redact that as well. But they didn't. So that's first thing. Second off here, I think it does bring up a couple questions, might be easily answered on that. But the overall question that Jeff asked, you know, nobody cares. And I've said that before. Nobody cares who's going to vote for Tuberville. Will he be seated then? It looks like by the time he would be inaugurated governor, he has like 9 years, so we're not on the cusp of this and shouldn't be an issue for being seated as governor. But I think it's a question you got to wonder here. I know people are like, oh, it's this much money and that much money. I'm not talking about the money he made or didn't make. But I think it's fair to answer these questions here. And also, I wonder how long the attorney sent a cease and desist letter to Lanyap. Well, maybe that would be his last action. I'm telling you right now, if he's my attorney and did that, then not my attorney no more on that. All right, get back to the text line, 251-343-0106, when we come back on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And y'all are out shopping right now for vehicles. Maybe it's a chance for somebody to get y'all to go find their next one.
Yeah, I've got six windows pulled up right now in my office. I'm not outside doing it. Thank the Lord I'm in the air conditioning. But still following the same procedures. I mean, we got, you know, the condition reports, the Carfaxes, and all that good stuff that we're protecting ourselves with, hopefully, and the next customer. We got a bunch of things on our list we're trying to pick up today. So if there's anything out there anybody in particular is looking for, let us know.
Yeah, and it's really cool, too, because I've used y'all to do this before. Y'all, you're not going to just – he's going to send you multiple selections. Be like, okay, this one, this other one, here's the – and you've done that with me. Say, hey, here's the – you know, this is the best of the lot, I think. You know, you kind of suggest the one that I should look at more than the other. But, you know, you send me all these different links to look at, and I appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome. And I'm doing that with one of your patrons that does business with you now. I won't say his name on the radio, but – He likes air conditioned. He's out driving one of our vehicles right now, and we've sold him and his bride. Man, I bet you we've sold him 25 cars over the years, and comes back to us faithfully, just like you do. And you have no idea what that means to us. I mean, it makes us, you know, it's just happy. It's like having a neighbor buy a vehicle from you, and you're scared to death to say your neighbor anything. You know, they'll be beating on you in the middle of the night. But when they come back by second, third, and fourth from you, it gives you the confidence that you are doing the right thing.
Yeah, you also said, taking it for a ride. That's something else people can do. They can come take that vehicle, drive it themselves. Heck, they can even take it to their own mechanic.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm trying to sell him a Denali, and he's wanting a rubber floor. So we're fighting over that. But other than that, he's going to buy something today. We just got to figure out which one it is.
Okay. Well, he knows how to get there, but tell everybody else how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 in Plantation. We're 1 mile south of I-10 exit 15A. We are at the third red light on the corner. You can give us a call, 251-375-0068. Or if you want to, go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. Check out what we've got on there now, and I promise you we got a lot more coming.
Hey, thanks, David.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
Hey, you too. There goes David at LCM Motor Cars. Well, this story, too, I had sent myself this story to remember to bring this into the mix. Story came out yesterday. You know, it was last week when I said, because there was another Southeast Asian flooded cave story, remember? And we're like, you know, it's that season. State of Alabama, not to be left out of this. And by the way, we've got amazing caves in the state. I always tell people, if you've never done Cathedral Caverns, go do that one. It's easy. You walk through it. You're not climbing, crawling through anything. It's that big of a cave system. It really is awesome. But not to be left out of it, we got our own flooded cave story here in Alabama. So not just Southeast Asia. This from WAFF out of Stevenson. I know where that is. Stevenson, Alabama. Several people were rescued from Tumbling Rock Cave in Jackson County on Sunday afternoon after they were trapped due to, anybody? Yep, rising water. It's a theme out there. Between 12 and 13 people, I think this is interesting. I don't know what happened to the other one. Between 12 and 13 people were inside the cave when water levels rose, according to Jackson County Assistant EMA Director Lee Meadows. One person got out and called for help. Officials say the group was stranded in the cave for at least 3 hours. Hollywood Fire and Hollywood Police, and that's Hollywood, Alabama, y'all, as well as swift water teams and cave rescues from Hamilton County were on scene to help rescue the people. So no injuries reported. So there you go. But we had our own flooded cave rescue right here in Alabama, not just for Southeast. It's just not just for Southeast Asia anymore, right? We're in the mix. All right. I also mentioned this to Jeff at the end of his show, and if you hadn't heard it, I'm going to play the audio here. I said to Jeff, I said, I think this is a master class from probably one of the youngest people in the Alabama political scene. This is Jared Hudson running for Senate. And this question about the DD-214. And it does what you would want it to do without being accusatory. If you know the story and you're savvy to politics, you may hear it differently. But think about how this is heard by people who don't study this stuff all the time. So this is a video, this video message put out on Saturday. Of course, the D-Day invasion anniversary that he put out about his opponent, Barry Moore's military service. Let's go to cut one.
Hey, friends and neighbors, I'd like to tell you a little bit about why refi.
Okay, that's not it. That's not what. Can we not get the right? Let's try it again from the top. Did somebody get me to dub over audio on this? We try it again here. Okay, I don't exactly know what is going on with this. Let's try. Well, it's still up. I don't know. We had some great audio for you. I don't know what had happened to the audio. It was there, and now it's not. Okay, let's try it again from the top here. All right, let's go from the top. Here we go. Press one. It's quite a day here. Try it again.
All right, y'all. I keep getting asked this on the campaign trail. Why don't Barry and myself release our DD-214s and move on with all this veteran stuff? It's not controversial. Here's mine right here. They'll probably put it up. I believe that Alabama deserves to hear from their U.S. Senate candidates. And I've told you beforehand, I was a SEAL on active duty for 6 years, did 2 years reserve afterward in the IRR to complete my 8-year contract. I've put mine out there. I'm sure Barry's going to put his out there. And he should before we debate on Monday night so that we don't have to answer these questions, can put this ridiculous stuff behind us, and we can move on with the things that matter to the people of Alabama. I look forward to seeing everybody Monday night at the debate in Montgomery. I want y'all to have a great Saturday, and I appreciate all you do. Lastly, we sleep in peace at night because others do violence on our behalf. And this day in 1944, Operation Overlord, they stormed the beaches of Normandy with 160,000 Allied soldiers, and 5,000 of those young men lost their life. My great-granddaddy, my pawpaw, was a part of that. Remember, we live in this country because others gave their life for us.
All right, so that is the message from Jared Hudson. I thought it was good, though, and the debate is not going to happen tonight because Barry Moore called back to Washington for a vote. Of course, Jeff is moderating that, and it's going to be the debate starts at 6 o'clock up in Montgomery tonight, and it'll be streamed on their Facebook page for sure. He said he wasn't sure if there's a YouTube page, but if you go to 1819 News on Facebook, you'll be able to find that there. But yeah. See, instead of coming on and saying, attacking, it was very, he said, that is a lesson on political speech. To come in there, it seems positive. It's, hey, I know he's got one too. Just let's go ahead and get this thing posted so we can move on past this. That was pretty, not saying who I think is going to win, but do I think that was a well-timed political message? I do. Also, and we'll probably talk about this more tomorrow because I think it's happening right just wrapped up. This is a headline here from WKRG. Pritchard's mayor addresses city's financial concerns. This, and by the way, Carlotta Davis has been, Mayor Pritchard has been more open and accessible with communications about Pritchard than I think I can ever remember a Pritchard mayor being. So had this presser today, and we'll get more of this probably by tomorrow, said the news conference going on with, says Pritchard's mayor saying she's trying to be transparent with the city's finances. Carlotta Davis will hold a news conference as members of the city council have started an independent investigation of their own. Pritchard's fiscal picture has been a frequent topic of discussion. And today, Pritchard's mayor says she has more information from the recent state audit and efforts to strengthen accountability and transparency. Carlotta Davis says they'll talk about, quote, documented concerns involving the city's financial procedures, internal oversight, record keeping, and reporting practices. So I think this is, so bring it out in the open. Let's talk about what's happened in the past here and how they're going to fix it. I think that's good. So hopefully we'll get it really at this point. For Pritchard Mayor, I think Ms. Davis has been the 100% beyond 1,000% the most communicable communicated mayor yet. Texture says Hudson can talk all things military well. It wasn't a bad statement, I guess, when you hire Dan Crenshaw's DC consultants. They do good coaching. Yeah, whoever decided that one, that angle on it, like not accusatory, just kind of matter of fact, I thought that was politics of it, though. I think that was a win. All right, Rob Hulbert with Land Yap joins us in just minutes. Y'all stay right there.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Monday, 251-343-0106. All right, so this discussion, of course, picked up on Friday and publishing in Lanyap, and then more has come since then, been talked about on Mobile Mornings, on Jeff Poore's show, and now to talk more about it, co-editor at Lanyap, Rob Hulbert, joins us now. Rob, thanks for coming on.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm good. Am I... Does the cease and desist apply to me as well, or
it will after this, after the radio show? If we talk about any of the numbers, you could be in trouble. You know, if we mention them, you might be in trouble.
The numbers too. Let's start with that. Again, maybe go back, even though there's been a lot of discussion today on the show. Somebody might have just tuned in to this show. So let's talk about what happened with the tax form last week. Tax form, you know, gets posted. I said, well, good. Put this thing to bed. You know, now, you know, the tax form's right out, and it all seems good. But by Friday...
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of my thought process all along. I've said that several times in my column. Just, hey, give us the tax form. Show that you filed taxes. And but, you know, when he did, when he sent them out, I was surprised to see a 2018. I thought, okay, well, that's odd, especially given the fact that he voted in Florida and also had a homestead exemption in Florida in 2018, but I didn't expect to see 2018.
Was that year maybe, you know, bifurcated? I was just wondering, like the homestead exemption, I think that was a mistake. The homestead exemption.
It was a partial year, yes, okay. But it was a partial year, but he voted in November. It was August till December. Okay. He's claiming residence from August. And that he voted in November in Florida. So, you know, look, in the hierarchy of residency things, the things that are the highest are your homestead exemption, where you vote, and where you pay taxes. Florida doesn't have an income tax, so you don't file taxes in Florida income tax wise. But so those things are right up there at the very top. And two of those three things said he voted in Florida, he lived in Florida in 2018. So in just in my world, I look at it and say, all right, I'm not – the 2018 thing to me is a real mess as far as does it prove anything or not. 2019 and 2020, they sent them and they were redacted. But the first thing I looked at when I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, there's no redaction in the box for withholding, for state withholding in those first 3 years.
And begging that that would be Florida.
Number there.
Because it's Florida, right?
What is that?
I mean, is the idea there that there's nothing in that square for state withholding is because that says Florida, right? You would, if you didn't have any withholding.
Well, it just says to me that he's claiming no income in Alabama that year.
Okay.
Those 3 years.
Is it possible that he's campaigning that whole time and doesn't have a regular job?
Absolutely. Sure. Perhaps so. You know, so yeah, it's possible. I don't know what he was doing. But we'll get to that in a second. But okay. I'm just saying, we looked at those things, and you know, I mean, I just when I first saw him, I thought that's kind of strange. And then he had redactions in that thing from 21 on. Okay, so but you know, we couldn't see the numbers. Nobody could see the numbers. And you know, I thought, well, I don't know if it put it to rest because it's a little strange, and the 2018 thing makes it seem a little weird. Because he's got those other things going on in 2018. But then, you know, we started getting information that, well, I mean, I'll just say, you know, people saw what was out there. These things were out there and people started sending us information.
That's what I was wondering, how that happened. Numbers. Did you, I mean, before and, this hit, did you know about that barcode thing? Because I was ignorant.
I did not. Okay. Had no idea. I was ignorant. I'm not a tax professional. I didn't know about that. But no. So we were kind of like, whoa, what is that? And you know, I mean, we immediately went to verify that because that's what newspapers do, and also because we had that up on our website, and we were being told all of his personal information was there. So we're like, well, if that's the case. So we looked at it and verified it, and then we quickly took, we redacted the barcodes and put them back up online, but we took the barcodes off for them. You're welcome, Tommy. Those numbers, I mean, look, you know, what does it mean that he had an Alabama adjusted gross income of $11,000, $11,806 in 2019, and his, according to the tax, the state tax form, his federal gross adjusted gross income was like $85,000. Those numbers are strange. They're just very different. Now, you're right, he was campaigning during some of that. But when he gets into office in 21, where he obviously at that point is fully claiming Alabama taxation, mm-hmm. it goes to $660,000. You know, and then after that, the numbers are, I mean, even like 24, he's over $1 million on his federal adjusted gross income.
So it goes from 11,800 to the next year, 660,000.
I think the next year it went up to, over 137 for his state adjusted income, but he also claims a negative 92,000 for that year. So then, and then it goes up to over $600,000 the following year. But you can, there's filings in the U.S. Senate for 2019 that show a lot of, he has tons of investments. He's got investment properties. There's a lot of different stuff going on.
So what do you think's happening there? That 2018 year? What do you think?
2018?
The year that
2019.
2019. What do you think's happening there?
I don't really know, Sean. I mean, I think there's two scenarios. I mean, it's like you said, it could be a lot of accounting tricks and, a lot of accounting. Hey, we wrote off this, we sold this, we had depreciation, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And I filed everything in Alabama. It could be that he said, I'm going to file a little bit in Alabama and I'm going to file some. And you don't file in Florida. So you just say, hey, well, the rest of it's Florida. I don't know.
Right. If you could say that the income came to Florida, you don't have to pay state tax on it. If you could say, if you say this stuff I made in Alabama, this stuff I made in Florida.
Right. Now, if you are a Florida resident, you can do that. Mm-hmm. If you make some, so this gets kind of complicated. It gets a little bit in the weeds. And from what I've understood, talking to people if you, for instance, let's say Georgia, which does have a state income tax, and you make some money in Georgia, you live in Alabama. If you live in Alabama, all of your income should be reported in Alabama.
Okay.
To the state, it should be reported. You don't.
Even money you earned in another.
Money you made in Georgia.
Okay.
If you made money in another state, you could do a non-resident filing in that state, and that would be reflected in your Alabama income tax as well, in your Alabama statement as well, which would probably be it would be some sort of a deduction from your Alabama taxes because you paid them in Georgia already.
Okay.
Florida, because it does not have an income tax, you're not filing anything. So, if he's not filing everything through Alabama and claiming to be an Alabama resident on that 2019 tax form, which he does, it's a resident tax form. It's not a non-resident tax form. It's a full-time resident tax form. If he's filing any of it in Florida, then that's a problem. Mm-hmm. But, we don't know that. It just raises more questions again. And I think that's the big issue. And I think that's why it is 100% pertinent to this story. I mean, he's asking the people of Alabama to elect him governor. There are issues about whether he has residency or not. And, stupidly, they put it out there and left it open where people could see it. And those numbers were coming in. And, we've got to verify them. We've got to look at them. I mean, that's what we do. We didn't take the numbers from it. We just verified them. We had them. People gave us the numbers. So, they, as you mentioned earlier, they filed a cease and desist letter. They sent a cease and desist letter on Saturday, threatening all sorts of punitive things, that they're going to sue us, et cetera. Also, it's full of of things that are supposition and just flat out wrong, you know, flat out untruths. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what the issue is. You know, if you look at what's gone on in just in the last few years, there are multiple precedents, court precedents on this kind of thing. But even just if you want to say, let's look at Donald Trump's taxes, for instance, which were stolen by an IRS employee, and the ProPublica cases as well, also stolen by an IRS employee. That was illegal behavior. It was taken from them. And those ProPublica and the New York Times both ran stories on that based on the information they received. And Trump tried to sue the New York Times, and what he got was an opportunity to pay the New York Times almost $400,000 for attorney's fees. He didn't win.
And that was a case
nobody
where
nobody bothered
was,
to try to sue ProPublica.
And that was a case, like that you said, where it was stolen. Not they. The Trump administration, yes. President Trump did not put those out.
Voluntarily offered
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Tuberville voluntarily sent these out. And, you know, and on top of that, they were more than happy that they were published, that they were on our website. They're fine with it being there. It was sent there for 4 days. We didn't hear a word about it from them. They wanted this. They thought that this was the end of the argument for everybody. And then they lost their minds when they found out what they had done. You know, as you said earlier today, you know, I mean, if that's your attorney, if that's the guy handling it, maybe he should be fired.
Yeah, he wouldn't be my attorney anymore. I mean, that's why you pay him big money to know things that you don't know, right? I mean, you pay them to be ridiculously careful.
Right. Well, the guy he hired is, Albert Jordan is a guy that back in 2006 was convicted of accessing the NCIC computers to try to overturn an election. And he got hammered for that and almost lost his law license and had to appeal it to get it back. So that's what he's dealing with. You know, he's got that. He's got some, you know, I mean, it's what you hire. It's what you get. But, I mean, now he's trying to blame us for it. I'm like, guys, I don't know what the expectation is.
And y'all didn't, and I want to point this out, too, while y'all discuss it and people read those many stories over there on this subject starting on Friday, but y'all redacted the barcode so nobody could use it like that. You redacted it. Y'all got to see all the information, and you didn't put that out.
Yes, if we wanted to. No, we didn't put it all out. We didn't, again, when we figured it out, we immediately took it off of our website so people couldn't see his Social Security numbers and all those things. We ran the numbers. We wrote about the numbers we thought were pertinent to this issue. And, you know, that's what we did.
Did you put out some other kind of, because I think the attorney said in the cease and desist letter something to the effect of doxing. I didn't see anything y'all put out.
We
that
did
have
not
been
dox
doxing.
Them. No, they're, you know, there's the whole thing of, you know, throw everything you can, Sean. It's, you know, they're trying to, I mean, they're claiming he's a covered person under all these things, under a section that deals with death threats to public officials. And, you know, I mean, they're just going overboard. Someone, Tommy would be well suited to get an attorney who maybe has even like walked by a media law class or maybe has access to the internet. I don't know, one of them, but that's what he's got right now. I don't know what this is. You know, what I think it is just they're trying to CYA because they look like idiots.
Yeah, well, they put it on, this part's on themselves. They put the thing out without the redacted barcode.
Yeah.
Now, I was ignorant to that, but 100%. Obviously the world isn't, you know.
I was ignorant to it as well. But, I mean, we didn't know about it until people, you know, started sending it. I mean, they want us now. They also are trying to get us. They want to violate state law and try to force us to tell them who gave us what and whatever else. That's completely covered by state law. We have, Reporter Shield laws. We have one in Alabama. We don't have to give them that information. And, you know, they're just, all this is ridiculous, man. I mean, it's a violation of First Amendment. There's this has been litigated. This ground has been plowed 15 times. We all know what the answer is. Why they want to even go there is stupid. I mean, but hey, we'll write the story about it. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen because they're connected and they may, you know, manage to find somebody who will, you know, put an injunction on us or do whatever else. I have no idea what they're going to do. You know, this is apparently the thing to do. You know, I guess Barry Moore just had a cease and desist sent to Alabama political reporter for a story they hadn't even written yet. So, I mean, it's just these guys are doing this kind of stuff. I can't imagine where they got the idea, but
You go back to the beginning here. You talk about the 2018-2019, because this, like this texter says, what does the Alabama Constitution require to show residency? And you name some of those, but the year, let's say 2018's in question, 2019's not, it's 7 years, right? So by the time he can run for governor, let's say that he got the 7 years, but by the time he would be sworn in as governor, he would have the time. Right, he would be here for the 7 years. But that's one of the questions that's come up here. Is like he legally can run for the office. He can't be seated until the residency 7 years. But by January, whatever, he'd be 7 years.
I don't, you know, look, what I've been told by everybody, from what I've heard, it is November of 2019 is when he had to establish residency. It had to be before the election is what I believe that. What the state constitution says is 7 years before the election, not before the seating of the candidate. I think that's another effort to stretch it, but you know, look, this stuff should be easy to prove. It should be easy enough to prove. And I also just want to go back and reiterate something here, that last Monday when they sent their documents to the Alabama GOP about this hearing they're having, what they wrote, they said that the expenditures that Tuberville had that we've written about, that Scott Johnson broke the story on, went through and found all his expenditures for his flights to the panhandle over the last several years, they said those are all vacation, which is illegal if he is taking taxpayer dollars and he is using campaign funds to pay for his vacations, which they admit in that document, which they submitted to the GOP. These are illegal things that he is doing. Yeah, cannot do it.
You or Scott, one, had written about that. It's something I read this weekend. I thought that was interesting because, you know, you can travel back to your, you know, home or something like that, but and have it covered. But vacations, I think it was you or Scott or somebody made the analog. That would be like using those funds to buy a new car. Everybody would say, well, no, you can't do that. So you can't use them for vacation. What's called a vacation.
They don't pay. You can't take tax. Yeah, Congress doesn't get to take their vacations and have the taxpayers pay for their airfare.
I can't believe
their
they
cars
worded it like
stuff.
That versus just travel. They themselves put down vacation.
They absolutely did. They said it was an escape from D.C. is what they said. You know, so, I mean, these are, you know, you stack these things up, you know, oh, I'm going to donate my salary to veterans. And then, oh, well, I don't want to do that because some IRS thing is bothering me. So I didn't do that. That was one of his things he said years ago when he was running for office. Now it's, you know, I don't know how I voted. I don't remember voting in 2018. What happened? I don't know. You know, come on. This stuff's just not very believable to me. I mean, people can believe what they want to believe, but, you know, I feel like it is a lot of, there's a whole lot of BSing that goes on here, in my opinion. But, and, you know, this reaction to our reporting of their failure to redact his documents just makes me wonder even more, like, what's the deal then? Why are you so upset about these numbers being out there?
Rob, people can, of course,
read. It should be easily explainable, right?
Well, yeah, although, and run out of time for the hour, but, I mean, this idea that y'all are doing this just because it's anti-Tuberville, that this is just, y'all are on a crusade against Tuberville.
Oh, man, come on. You know, that's what we always hear about everything, Sean. Whoever it is, if they like them, we're against them, whatever it is. This is what we do. This is what we've done for 24 years. Chased everybody up and down the street. We do whatever. I mean, I went after Sam Jones Hard. We went after this is what we do. We cover the news. I don't care if he's a Republican or a Democrat. We don't care. Believe what you want to believe, but this is just how it is. People, I think you've known us long enough to know that we don't have a political bent.
Better to come out of your mouth than mine. You know, I'm texting people back on this from time to time and say, well, no, here are the examples, but it's better that they hear it from you and, you know, and what y'all are doing. So they can read this, of course, over at lanyapmobile.com.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Check it out.
Come
there.
Come on over and read it.
Yeah.
Check it out.
And what, yeah, not it. All of them. Multiple stories. I don't think it's done yet.
No. We're not anywhere near done with this thing. I think it's going to go on for a while.
All right. Y'all check it out. LandyupMobile.com. Rob, thank you, man.
All right, Sean. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1257 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Breaking news out of the PCB. Don't think this will cause a shark alert here in Alabama, even though the shark alert system was built on an attack that took on, that happened in Florida, but it goes, but they just said, Navy base officials confirmed at least one person taken to the hospital for a confirmed shark attack at the Navy base marina sometime this afternoon. This is Navy base marina, Panama City. Male between age 15 and 25 who was attacked. Here it is. Naval Support Activity Panama City on Facebook said an individual was attacked by a shark at NSAPC MWR Marina at approximately 11:45 today. NSA Panama City Fire Emergency Services responded to the incident and transported the individual to a local hospital. More details released when they become available. I don't think that makes the shark alerts go off here, but stand by. By the way, too, Ben says, in all fairness to Tommy Tuberville, spending time on Alabama's beaches didn't work out well for one of our previous governors. Yeah, it's true. All right. Coming right back, my buddy John Young joins us. Sorry, Mr. Mobile joins us next.